Our Amtraks moved to the water's edge and waited for H-hour as the thunderous pre-landing naval gunfire bombardment covered the little island in smoke, flame, and dust. The Corsairs from Marine Fighter Squadron VMF-114 peeled off and began bombing and strafing the beach. The engines of the beautiful blue gullwing planes roared, whined, and strained as they dove and pulled out. They plastered the beach with machine guns, bombs, and rockets. The effect was awesome as dirt, sand, and debris spewed into the air. Ungesibus was one of the first American amphibious assaults where air support for the landing force came exclusively from Marine aircraft. In earlier landings, air support came from Navy and sometimes Army planes. Our Marine pilots outdid themselves, and we cheered, yelled, waved, and raised our clenched fists to indicate our approval. Never during the war did I see fighter pilots take such risks by not pulling out of their dives until the very last instant. We were certain more than once that a pilot was pulling out too late and would crash. But expert flyers that they were, they gave that beach a brutal pounding without mishap to plane or pilot. We talked about their spectacular flying even after the war ended. Out to sea on our left, with a cruiser, destroyers, and other ships firing support, was a huge battleship. Someone said it was the USS Mississippi, but I never knew for sure. She ranked with the Corsairs in the mass of destruction she hurled at Ungesibus. The huge shells rumbled like freight cars, as the men always used to describe the sound of projectiles from full-sized battleships' 16-inch guns. At H-hour, our tractor driver revved up his engine. We moved into the water and started the assault. My heart pounded in my throat. Would my luck hold out? "The Lord is my shepherd," I prayed quietly, and squeezed my carbine stock. To our relief, we received no fire as we approached the island. When my Amtrak lurched to a stop well up on the beach, the tailgate went down with a bump and we scrambled out. With its usual din and thunder, the bombardment moved inland ahead of us. Some Company K Marines on the beach were already firing into pillboxes and bunkers and dropping in grenades. With several other men, I headed inland a short distance. But as we got to the edge of the airstrip, we had to dive for cover. A Nambu Japanese light machine gun had cut loose on us. A buddy and I huddled beneath a coral rock as the machine gun slugs zipped viciously overhead. He was on my right. Because the rock was small, we pressed shoulder to shoulder, hugging it for protection. Suddenly, there was a sickening crack, like someone snapping a large stick. My friend screamed, "Oh God, I'm hit!" and lurched over onto his right side. He grabbed his left elbow with his right hand, groaning and grimacing with pain as he thrashed around, kicking up dust.